From the dawn of civilization, trust has always been a central foundation of stability. Do I trust the intent and action of others? Is there a way to verify that that trust was rightly earned? The 19th century minister, speaker, and columnist Frank Crane once said, "You may be deceived if you trust too much, but you will live in torment if you don't trust enough." He could have been describing where we find ourselves in the 21st century. As humans across the globe work to build digital infrastructures to every aspect of their lives, connecting people and data across time and space, new protocols of trust have evolved to respond to the circumstances of the age. Do blockchain technologies, with their design as a shared, distributed, peer-to-peer ledger system, suggest a real innovation in industries like healthcare? Welcome to Steps to Value, a podcast that explores the intersection of people, processes, and technology in healthcare as the sector moves towards a value-focused model. I'm your host, Rod Pihowski, and in today's episode, we'll explore the potential impact of blockchain technology on healthcare's thorniest issues around security, identity, access, and interoperability with Fletcher McCraw, Senior Consultant, Blockchain and Distributed Ledger Technologies at Cognizant. All that and more coming up. Look forward to tomorrow's health system today at the HIMSS Innovation Center, an immersive, interactive, educational experience. The Innovation Center showcases new ways that IT enables informed, shared decision-making and safer, more cost-effective care where it's needed. Become an active participant in the transformation of health at the HIMSS Innovation Center. Schedule your visit at himsinnovationcenter.org. I'm here with Fletcher McCraw. Fletcher is Senior Consultant, Blockchain, at Cognizant, a provider of information technology, consulting, and business process outsourcing services. Fletcher, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here.
So I think first at the beginning, you know, blockchain is one of those things that we hear a lot about lately. And could you kind of give us a brief 101 intro to blockchain and the different types and maybe help people understand how it's not the same as Bitcoin and, you know, these other things that we might be hearing about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something I love talking about and do quite often. And, you know, blockchain has become a term that I think has been very generalized and used to mean a lot of things recently. When I think about blockchain, I think about it in the network protocol sense. A lot of people refer to this as a distributed ledger technology. And really, the way to think about it is this is a shared distributed ledger. You know, it has non-repudiation of transactions, and it's peer-to-peer. There is no master-slave. There is no central authority controlling it. And really, it really solves the problem of trust. So whenever there's issues of trust between two parties or multiple parties, blockchain is a great way to algorithmically come to regular agreement. So when you have a lot of a network trying to share information and share value, it's a great technology to do that. Now, I mentioned there's a lot of types of blockchains, and there's a lot of the word is used broadly, you know, but there's a lot of kind of key categories. So there's private and public blockchains, there's permission and permissionless blockchains. There's logic optimized versus transaction optimized. There's tokenized blockchains and non-tokenized. And all of those features have different trade-offs. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from conversations that I have is that there's a lot of flavors of blockchain. There is no just one implementation of it. And really, as you're thinking about the application and the function that you want to move towards, really in line with that, in tandem, you have to think through the type of underlying structure that you want. And that relates itself, and there's a lot of innovation, to apply that to financial services and banking, as is very commonly caught up in the media, but it extends to retail and supply chain, a lot of manufacturing, logistics, energy, a lot of government use cases, and a lot of real promise and excitement around healthcare in particular, an area I'm particularly excited about, you know, with my focus and background.
So you mentioned financial, and I know that I've heard people talk about smart contracts and their relationship to blockchain. What's a way to think about that, and can you explain what that's all about?
Yeah, so smart contracts make my list of the five most misunderstood things about blockchain. And the first thing to know about smart contracts is that the idea and the concept was created and invented well before blockchain was even known. Smart contracts is really about codifying relationship or an agreement. So it's digital promises. So, and you have baked into those promises protocols to execute that. So what does that really mean? Let's kind of take that apart. It's really when you and I or me and multiple other parties agree to some sort of transaction or some sort of I will do this performance and you will pay me for that or you will provide me with something for that. Once that's done, when two humans are dealing with each other, there's a level of trust and we have to write a contract to make sure that we are legally bound by that agreement. Now, the idea is, what if we could codify that, write that agreement in code, and then we could take away that trust of me and you having to live up to our end of the bargain because the code is not going to lie. It's not going to try to defraud somebody. And so the best example, the one that's often used, is a soda machine, a vending machine. You know, this is not a blockchain-based system, but, you know, you are entering into agreement. You're paying for a beverage or a snack, and you're entering in the code, and that machine, you're relying on that machine to perform that service for you. Now, you know, the machines, there's often a motif with vending machines that you have to bang them and shake them to make sure that the food falls out and you get it. So there's a lot of work that's to be done to make sure these agreements work fluidly. But blockchain is, as I mentioned before, is about the absence, working in the absence of trust. Basically, you can work with other participants and come to an agreement on a state very easily. And so smart contracts, you can see, naturally fit into that and allows us to kind of automatically compute agreements. So really, when you're thinking about how valuable that can be, I'm thinking about fraud. And we encourage our clients to do trust maps, which are, where are all the points in your business, whether it's you to customer or you to somebody in your supply chain or your value chain, or even you internally to another department or business unit in your organization, where are there trusts that take place in agreements that you're relying on them and you want to prevent fraud or improve customer service because you can automatically execute agreements and you can have that be reliant on code instead of prone to human error or mistake.
So it's all about trust. But we're being asked to trust an unseen system and algorithm. So how does security get incorporated into these designs?
Yeah, you know, it's a great, great point. You know, at the end of the day, we can only trust the system as much as we trust the underlying code, which is why this technology is slowly iterating and improving. And as people get more comfortable with how it works, doing a lot of experiments, trying to understand how this fits into their environment so that they're comfortable with that underlying code. And in the world of having complete legal documents codified via code is a long way away, if even an end state that is even achievable. But, you know, as we're implementing these, there are some aspects of blockchain that are incredibly secure and allow it to be trusted. So really three things that I like to think about. Number one, it has an immutable time sequence of events. So there's no way really to change once something has been stamped. So the lineage into the blockchain, so the lineage and history of the events that occurred or the changes to a database or the lineage of ownership or transactions is immutable. So we know that we can always look back and see what happened, and we've all agreed to what happened. So that if there's ever a dispute about what the current state is, we have a way to come to agreement or a kind of a record to be based on. The second thing is that it's crypto secured. So everything is stored on the blockchain and stored in quotes as a cryptographic hash. And this uses public key infrastructure, so PKI. And this is a technology that's been around for a long time that is integral in an enterprise architecture right now. And you're able to kind of have this public-private key encumbrance on information, on data, so that when you're sharing that data and using it, there's an encumbrance and you're able to maintain control of access. And then the third thing is that it's peer-to-peer in its design. So there is no single point of failure with blockchain. There's no honeypot that, you know, people who want to introduce fraud or maybe want to hack into the system really can do so. Because it's a distributed network, there's redundancy built in, and there's no one single person who has the ability to scratch something out and rewrite their name in or change an asset value, et cetera. So those are the three ways that it's inherently built into the system so that we can trust it. Now it's how do we make sure that we learn to trust it, you know, to make sure that we're comfortable with the technology and how it runs in our environment.
So it becomes more of a cultural adaptation thing.
Absolutely. It's being comfortable with what, I really like to think of it like the debate that's going on with driverless vehicles. You know, I think there's some statistics about driverless vehicles are significantly less likely to get into accidents and wrecks than humans. But when there's one incident of it, people jump on it. Because if they're not in control and they're giving up trust to a computer, then there's this kind of need, the service level, kind of that's the expectation that we have that everything is perfect and it runs 100%. And we just need to build up that confidence in blockchain culturally and organizationally to make sure that the organizations understand the risks that are, you know, inherent to this technology, and being comfortable and being able to quantify and articulate those and really understand, you know, that there's not so much to fear with it.
Is blockchain in current use every day anywhere? Is it in our lives and we don't know it?
So the short answer is no, but kind of under construction. So in financial services in particular, blockchain has graduated from the laboratory and is really in the testing type phase of its life cycle. So there are instances where it's running in parallel to existing architecture, and there's a lot of things that move beyond just proofs of the concept. They're actually trying to prove out the value and make sure that, you know, this, because this is underlying technology. This is the railroads, the bridges, the tunnels of the architecture. So, you know, it's a very slow kind of implementation. There is no rip and replace with blockchain. However, I think you made a good point of, do we even know that if we're using blockchain or not? Is it around us? You know, this is under the hood type technology. So, a lot of people compare it to the internet and how it's going to revolutionize the world. And at underlying level, I agree with that, but it's not going to be that in a way that now there's this whole new interface like the World Wide Web where we work with companies via e-commerce and things like that. It's going to be the underlying nuts and bolts that are changing that's going to unlock some potential that never was before.
Well, let's get a little more specific and talk about maybe some of the applications in healthcare. Where do you mm-hmm. see that helping with interoperability or security, or what kind of possibilities are out there?
Yeah, so I think of four main categories of ways that blockchain will impact the healthcare landscape. The first is the supply chain, understanding provenance and counterfeit of goods, reducing redundancy across the value chain and debt record keeping. The second is identity. So being able to look at a patient or a machine's identity, authenticate that, credentialize it, and be able to share that. The third is about interoperability, which you just mentioned. Interoperability is a huge issue. There is no magic silver bullet that blockchain solves for this problem, but it does provide us a common infrastructure for sharing and authorizing information, passing it securely. So I like to think of it, being from the Washington, D.C. area, the hospital that I go to for my services, I have a patient portal that I've created online, but maybe I want to go see a specialist at a competing hospital in the area, and they maybe use a different EMR system. So interoperability between that is very unlikely. There's competition issues. There's trust issues. But what blockchain can do is give me control. So if I were to create a profile online at my hospital, I as a patient would then be able to digitally sign access to those records to another hospital, another service provider. And then the hospital, the hospital I started with can also digitally sign that so that the receiving hospital can verify authenticity, and they can verify nothing has been fraudulent, and also we can control their level of access. What types of things are they allowed to see or are they not allowed to see? So it's a way to be able to share and control access and authorization to data. So you kind of put the patient in charge of really their medical record a little bit more, and it starts to kind of move the wheels and interoperability standpoint. And then the fourth one, which a lot of work is being done, is around claims management. This is really where payers and providers really intersect within the revenue cycle. Smart contracts, as we explained earlier, are about trusted agreements between multiple parties. So you can think of a claim being adjudicated. We have to, if we're a provider, we have to trust that payer not to pay that accurately on time. That's an issue that there's a lot of money being spent to make sure that happens. And vice versa with the payers, they're making sure that the documentation is correct from providers and that they are correctly billing and providing the kind of the evidence that the care was necessary. So you can start to build in contracts that automate a lot of that across those boundaries and across relationships that are can sometimes be tenuous and lack trust. So those are the ways that I think blockchain will really impact healthcare.
That's great, and I appreciate you, enumerating those. I just want to make sure we're being clear here that it even goes beyond just making sure that identity is affixed properly and that we can do our authentication. It also protects the integrity of the data that's moving around, correct?
It does. So, because blockchain has the lineage of records, we can always trace back any changes to where they occurred. So we can come to an agreement on what the state of truth is and know that if somebody tried to steal that or change that in any way. And then also everything is cryptographically secured in the system. So you're only storing a digital hash of the information on the blockchain. Blockchain is actually a pretty bad database if you're trying to store a lot of information. But you're storing a reference to that information, and you're able to then pass that reference, confirm that reference, and when you have the correct authentication, when you have the correct agreement, then you're able to the fluidity, the liquidity of data underneath that is able to really translate from one payer to one provider and one provider to the next. So it really does change the game in terms of how can we securely transfer information and also agree that that information is accurate and correct and hasn't been tampered with and won't be intercepted by somebody.
So if you could look into the future and if blockchain had been or becomes widely adopted, are there any business models that you think in healthcare would see the biggest changes due to blockchain adoption?
Yeah, so theoretically, blockchain would allow for peer-to-peer insurance so that, you're taking away the need for an insurer. And you probably will never need to take away their need for an insurer from an administrative standpoint, but maybe from a risk pooling standpoint, you can take some of that onus in more of a network that others or you can create. But really where I see the market changing is with this interoperability being more fluid and really being able to be realized is the EMR vendors who really kind of control and lock in and derive a lot of value from the data in their systems. Really, they're going to become more of processors of data as opposed to storage and owners of data. I see the patient being more in control of the data as opposed to the EMR vendors. And it's going to open up the EMR market because sharing and sharing information about your identity, about your health record will become much more seamless and much more frictionless. So the barrier to entry there will be much lower. So I see that kind of falling apart. And then at the same time, I see the wealth of data continuing to explode in healthcare and blockchain only augmenting that because you'll kind of break down a lot of the silos in this data. And I think that's going to change strategy in healthcare even more so. You know, right now you're seeing a lot of organizations, you know, almost this kind of a land grab where we want to make sure we have everybody in our network and we're able to really understand and control this population and manage their health. And I think you're going to see more and less about making sure you have access to all that information as a strategic priority. And it's more going to be about how do we use that information strategically and how do we use it better than the payer or the provider down the road to really differentiate ourselves. So I think that's really how I see that the market shifting.
All right. One more question that we ask all of our guests. What's your favorite technological invention and what impact do you think it's had on culture?
Well, I mentioned earlier the driverless cars. That's something I'm most excited about. So yet to see its impact on our culture fully realized. But I think one that I really relate to a lot and think is my favorite is Wi-Fi. There's so much discussion about how the iPhone or smartphones have democratized data and access to information, how that's influenced political uprisings, it's influenced how we go about our day-to-day business, you know, that we're so plugged into our phone. But I think really Wi-Fi is the complementary development that really allowed that to happen, that we can get information, you know, anywhere, anytime, and access, connect to this huge web. And you have the processing power in your pocket to back it up. And so for me, that's really exciting. And I think, you know, as much as it's allowed us to, quote, unplug, you know, from our Ethernet cables and such, it's actually allowed, it's made us plug back into our phones even more. So there are some things, you know, culturally that have changed with, you know, we're always on our phone. We're always maybe not interacting with each other as much as we used to. But from my perspective, I see it as we have so much more information available to us. And it's really changing the way that we can have conversations, we can be informed, and we can be empowered as individuals in our day-to-day life.
Very insightful. Well, Fletcher McCraw is Senior Consultant Blockchain at Cognizant, a provider of information technology consulting and business process outsourcing services. Fletcher, thank you so much for joining us
on this podcast. Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Liz Anderson, Senior Marketing Manager for HIMSS North America. I bring value to the HIMSS community by educating participants on the benefits of collaborating, connecting, and engaging through all that HIMSS offers to help ensure healthier populations for generations to come. You are listening to Steps to Value.
Has your healthcare organization started to explore the use of blockchain technologies to drive clinical, operational, or financial outcomes? Send us your thoughts as a voice memo or email, and we'll play it on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Fletcher McCraw, for sharing his perspective on the potential impact blockchain technologies can have on the healthcare industry. For more information on everything discussed by today's guest, please visit this episode's landing page at hims.org/steps-to-value. Steps to Value is a production of HIMSS North America. Steps to Value is co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is our story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Rod Pihowski, and we'll see you next time on Steps to Value.